Let's start with something that might make you uncomfortable down to your bones. Observe the world around you. Look closely, without blinking. Do you see it? The streets are full of bodies walking with open eyes, but with souls completely turned off. Faces that pretend to show emotion, mouths that babble borrowed opinions, automatic gestures repeated over and over like an empty ritual. Most of the people you cross paths with every day don't feel anything authentic. Don't believe in anything that hasn't been pre-chewed for them. Don't think about anything that isn't packaged in headlines designed to tame their attention. I want you to imagine for a second that you could look behind their eyes. What do you think you would find? I'll tell you bluntly. A wasteland. A vast stretch of dead silence where something resembling independent thought once lived. We've reached such a grotesque point that people fear silence more than lies. They prefer constant distraction over uncomfortable clarity. And meanwhile, the soul, that invisible core that gave meaning to every gesture, is evaporating. Does that sound exaggerated to you? Watch how they react when the internet connection goes off. Watch how they writhe if they lose the perpetual buzz of notifications. Look at them closely. They have become meat machines that only come alive when someone tells them what to feel, what to buy, what to hate, and what to pretend to love. This is not a metaphor. It is a real epidemic. An epidemic that doesn't cause fever or skin rashes, but a silent deterioration of consciousness. It's the epidemic that has turned attention into a resource more valuable than water, that has transformed reflection into a luxury almost no one can afford. I challenge you to think about how many people you know who are capable of sitting down to contemplate their own mind without fleeing in panic. How many can look inside and bear the weight of their own contradictions? How many would get lost if we turned off all screens, if we ripped out all the noise, if suddenly the only sound left was the sound of their own thinking? That is the wound no one wants to admit. We are surrounded by human beings who pretend to be human, but who act like perfectly programmed automatons. And I don't say this with disdain. I say it with terror. Because every day there are more of us who feel that suffocation, that suspicion, that we are falling into the same pit. We are becoming what we swore we would never be. Interchangeable pieces in a machine that understands neither consciousness nor truth. Have you stopped to think about why every year you need more stimuli to feel the same? Why everything bores you faster? Why your ability to concentrate is eroding like a cliff battered by the tide? It's not a coincidence. It's a plan without an apparent author, a faceless dynamic, a chain woven with every click, every meaningless post, every conversation designed not to upset anyone. And here comes the truly chilling part. Every time you let yourself be dragged by that current of noise and triviality, something dies inside you. A spark of lucidity, a vestige of intellectual courage, a fragment of what was once your will. This process makes no distinctions. It doesn't matter if you boast intelligence, if you believe you have judgment, if you tell yourself you are different. No one is immune if they don't practice active resistance. And that resistance starts by recognizing that thinking is not a secondary activity, but an act of survival. Do you dare to look at the world with naked eyes? Then you will see entire legions of anesthetized souls, people who have delegated their consciousness to algorithms that decide what is relevant and what is not. Individuals who cannot distinguish information from wisdom, nor noise from truth. Humans who live under the illusion that they know a lot, while their ability to question rots beneath the surface. And if this doesn't give you goosebumps, it's because you are already contaminated. Because the first sign of this epidemic is indifference. Do you feel it? that unease that runs down your spine as I describe this reality to you. It is the sign that something inside you still beats. And if that something survives, then there is a possibility. But you have to understand one thing. You are not going to wake up by accident. No one recovers the soul by chance. This world is designed so you never stop moving in circles. So you confuse distraction with happiness. So you change stimulus before asking yourself an uncomfortable question, so you never have time to wonder why you have come to this state. Here is the question that separates those who still keep a fragment of will from those who are already just talking shells. What would happen if you decided to stop? If you turned off all the voices competing for your attention? If instead of consuming more information, you started to dissect what you already have? Would you be able to hold your own gaze without fear of discovering the void? Because this void is the only thing that grows when you stop thinking. It expands slowly, relentlessly. At first, it seems like a passing discomfort, a vague nostalgia for something you can't name. But if you ignore it long enough, it ends up devouring everything. And then, yes, there's no turning back. You become one more of those bodies walking with a lost look, convinced they are alive because they keep moving. And the truth, a truth so brutal that almost no one dares to say it, is that millions of people have already crossed that threshold. Their soul has dissolved into routine, their mind has become a reflection of the loudest opinions, and their heart beats only out of inertia. Now tell me, are you going to be one of them? Or are you willing to reclaim what remains of you before the world turns you into another robot perfectly adapted to nothingness? Because there is something even more unsettling than that crowd of soulless bodies. The fact that all this doesn't happen just because you lowered your guard, but because there is an entire industry dedicated to manufacturing your apathy. An invisible machine, but precise as a clock, whose sole purpose is to turn your consciousness into a product. And no, this is not a rhetorical metaphor. It is a real transaction. Every second of your attention is monetized, analyzed, sold, and recycled until your capacity for wonder becomes a statistic. Have you wondered why every time you open an app, you feel that mix of urgency and emptiness? Why your heart beats a little faster while you check if someone wrote to you, if someone validated you with a digital gesture? It's because your mind has been trained with a reward system you don't fully understand. They throw you dopamine crumbs with surgical precision. So every time your focus falters, you obediently come back, like a dog waiting for its piece of bread. This is the new face of ignorance. Ignorance that does not arise from isolation, but from saturation. Because it's no longer necessary to ban books or close schools to manufacture a passive society, it's enough to drown you in an endless cascade of irrelevant content. Knowledge has ceased to be a path to freedom and has become an accessory, a collection of loose phrases you repeat when you want to feel smart. But that never transforms into deep understanding. And do you know why? Because to truly understand something, you need time, silence, and willpower. And those three things are incompatible with the consumption model in which you are trapped. Don't think you are an exception. Even your will to resist is contaminated by this saturation. How many times have you felt you wanted to disconnect? But as soon as you try, your anxiety starts poisoning you from within. How many times have you decided to put down your phone, and a minute later your brain betrays you with an irrational urge to check if something happened? This is no coincidence. It is the clearest symptom that you have been programmed. I want you to imagine your mind as a garden, a place that, in its natural state, is fertile, complex, full of life. Now imagine that every notification, every headline, every empty stimulus is a visitor who arrives and sows weeds. For a while, you can ignore those weeds. But if you don't uproot what's unnecessary, if you don't clean your mental ground, sooner or later, the weeds cover everything. And nothing authentic grows anymore. You only repeat ideas that others have planted. You only defend positions you don't understand. You only react according to a script you didn't write. Does this seem like an exaggerated picture? Then tell me why every time someone talks to you about deep thinking, you feel that sting in your stomach. Why does the mere idea of being alone with your convictions make you uncomfortable? Because you sense that beneath all that weed, there are no roots of your own, only residues of others. And here is the most perverse trap. They have convinced an entire generation that being informed is the same as being awake, as if accumulating data were enough to free you. But don't be mistaken. Intellectual freedom doesn't come from knowing many things. It comes from knowing how to discern. It comes from questioning until certainties become uncomfortable. It comes from holding questions without needing immediate answers. When was the last time you allowed a doubt to mature inside you without drowning it with a quick internet search? When did you give yourself time to dwell in uncertainty without turning it into a spectacle? The truth is that this capacity to contemplate complexity is dying out. Nowadays, any nuance seems like a threat. Everything must be reduced to a label, a slogan, an immediate judgment. Because in a world designed to reward speed, the slowness of reflection is seen as a weakness. And if you dare to think slowly, if you dare to dissent from the noise, you will soon discover that your silence disturbs more than any shout. I want you to stop and observe the paradox we are living. Never in human history have we had so much access to knowledge. And yet we have never been so incapable of turning that access into wisdom. Because excess information, when there is no filter, doesn't make you more lucid. It makes you more vulnerable. Knowledge without judgment is like an uncontrolled weapon. It only serves to destroy you from within. If you still keep a fragment of consciousness, I invite you to feel this discomfort. Don't deny it. Don't rush to cover it up with more content. Let it grow. Because that discomfort is the last reminder that you are still alive, that your mind is not yet completely tamed. But if you don't do something, if you don't deliberately choose what you allow into your thoughts, if you don't create spaces of silence for your ideas to breathe, you will end up just like the crowd around you, programmed, empty, irrelevant. Now I want you to visualize something. Imagine walking through a city at sunset. You see gigantic buildings full of lit windows. Each window shows an apparently different life. But if you look closely, you will discover they all look alike. The same expressions of contained anxiety. The same looks begging for a bit of validation. The same learned gestures, identical consumption rituals. A perfectly synchronized choreography that no one decided to practice, but everyone executes perfectly. Have you wondered how we got here? It didn't happen overnight. It was a succession of small renunciations. Every time you traded reflection for entertainment, every time you preferred the comfort of borrowed certainty over the tension of doubt, every time you chose quick judgment instead of slow understanding. That's how you manufacture a society that seems alive, but is hollow inside. And this collective void is not just an individual problem. It's a cultural virus that spreads with the speed of a pandemic. Every mind that turns off is a source of contagion. Because when you no longer think, when you no longer question, you become a passive transmitter of any idea that sounds attractive enough. It doesn't matter if it's a lie. It doesn't matter if it's a grotesque simplification. As long as it promises to distract you from the vertigo of thinking, you will accept it without resistance. Do you feel it now? That chill running down your spine. It's consciousness realizing its own fragility. Because no one is completely safe. Even you, even now, are susceptible to giving yourself over to autopilot, to becoming another docile gear in this machine that feeds on your attention. The question is whether you will give up or fight, whether you will settle for being an echo or reclaim the voice that belongs to you. Because thinking in this world is no ordinary task. It is an act of rebellion. And rebellion has a price, the price of loneliness, discomfort, uncertainty. But it is also the only path to something that no one can steal from you. Lucidity. And if you have made it this far, if you are still listening without looking away, it's because there is something in you that resists being tamed. Something that cannot resign itself to the idea of living as an automaton disguised as a functional person. You may not know how to name it. You may find it hard to admit it out loud. But it is that tiny voice that, even amid the noise, whispers that you deserve more than a simulation of consciousness. And that voice is dangerous, because when you listen to it closely, everything you took for granted begins to waver. The world becomes uncomfortable. Familiar faces no longer seem so secure. Routine loses its soothing meaning. You begin to perceive cracks in the facades, voids in the speeches, inconsistencies in your own beliefs. And yes, it might scare you. Because when lucidity breaks through, it first destroys. It demolishes certainties, incinerates vanities, pulverizes the illusion that you were safe in your ignorance. But let me tell you something no one else will. That destruction is not the end. It's the beginning. Because when all that is false burns away, there is space for what is authentic. When you no longer need others to tell you who you are, you can start discovering it for yourself. When you stop consuming other people's thoughts like a beggar picking up scraps, you can start generating your own. When you dare to stay in silence without distractions, without lifelines, without anesthesia, that is when you finally understand that the mind is yours, and thinking is not a decorative task, but your only guarantee of freedom. And now that we've made it this far, before we continue, I want to present the following to you. Our book, The Formula of Awakening, is now available. Do you feel like there's something inside you that wants to awaken, but you don't know where to start? Then I invite you to transform your way of thinking, and with it, your way of living. Discover who you can become. Start today. The link to get the ebook is in the first pinned comment of this video. Grab your copy now at a great price. With that said, let's continue with the video. Maybe right now you feel that tingling in your chest. It's the vertigo of being on the edge of an unknown territory, your own judgment. If you decide to cross that threshold, don't expect it to be easy. Don't expect applause. The society that prefers complacency over consciousness does not tolerate those who step out of line. You will cause discomfort. You will lose some emotional belongings you once thought indispensable. They will call you weird, distant, even arrogant. And you know what? Let them. Because while they sink into a collective dream, you will have something that can't be bought, sold, or faked. The ability to look at the world and not swallow it whole. The ability to question even if no one joins you. The ability to feel even if everything around you is dead. So here I throw you a challenge. One that won't end when you turn off this video. One that will chase you every time you fall into the temptation of distracting yourself from yourself. Ask yourself this question every night before sleeping. Have I thought today about something I wasn't taught? Have I felt something I wasn't ordered to? Have I been the owner of my mind even for a moment? If the answer is yes, even once, you are resisting. And believe me, in a world designed to turn you into an obedient consumer, that is an act of heroism. Now, if you have felt even a pang of discomfort, if something I have told you has stirred your guts, I invite you to share it with someone who still keeps a glimpse of lucidity, because this conversation cannot stay buried under more stimuli. If you have the courage, leave me a comment writing the phrase that will prove you made it to the end. Silence is my resistance. I want to know how many of us remain who still refuse to be pieces in this machinery of massive distraction. And if you want us to keep dismantling this big farce together, subscribe. Here you won't find the same recycled content you see everywhere. Here you will find an uncomfortable space. Uncomfortable because it forces you to think. Because thinking, even if it hurts, is still the only way to be alive. Now, close your eyes for a moment. Listen to your breathing. Feel how, beneath all this noise, there is a core they have not managed to turn off. Open it like one opens a forbidden book. And remember this: the more you dare to look into the void, the more you will discover that it was never empty, but waiting for you to arrive. Thank you for staying with me until the end. Thank you for daring to question. We will see each other soon. Or maybe not, because some paths can only be traveled alone. But if you decide to come back, I'll be here, sowing fires in minds that still dare to burn. Until then, remember, thinking is an act of resistance, and you have just begun your own silent revolution.